Imagine standing beneath a vast desert sky, stars scattered like diamonds across midnight velvet, when suddenly you feel it, a presence so profound it makes your heart tremble. This is the experience of reading Rumi, the 13th century Sufi mystic whose poetry has captivated millions across 8 centuries. When Madonna cited Rumi as her favorite poet, or when Deepak Chopra declared his work essential spiritual reading, they joined a tradition of reverence that spans continents and generations. Rumi's Essential Poems collection has sold over 2 million copies in North America alone, making him the best-selling poet in the United States. What mysterious power allows ancient Persian verses to resonate so deeply with modern audiences? Perhaps it's because, as Coleman Barks, Rumi's renowned translator, suggests, these poems open a place of direct connection with God that doesn't depend on religious doctrine. In a world hungry for authentic spiritual experience, Rumi offers a feast of divine intoxication that transcends cultural and religious boundaries. Love, in Rumi's universe, isn't merely an emotion, but a cosmic force, the very essence of existence itself. Love is the master, he declares, describing himself as merely a straw before the furious wind of love. This isn't the sanitized greeting card version of love we often encounter, but a wild, untamable power that transforms everything it touches. For Rumi, spiritual awakening begins with the recognition that we are not autonomous beings, but vessels through which divine love flows. When Rumi writes, "In love's hands, I'm like a cat in a sack, sometimes hoisted high, sometimes flung about, never finding peace," he's describing the exhilarating surrender that defines the spiritual path. Modern psychology might call this flow state or peak experience, but Rumi understood it 8 centuries ago as the natural consequence of relinquishing the ego's illusion of control. This surrender isn't passive, but dynamic, like mill wheels turning day and night. Consider how differently we might approach our daily challenges if we saw ourselves not as independent actors, but as instruments of something greater. The corporate executive facing a difficult decision, the artist confronting a blank canvas, the parent responding to a child's needs, all could find liberation in Rumi's wisdom that true agency comes paradoxically through surrender. "Lovers of God have surrendered to a furious river," he writes, capturing the simultaneous terror and ecstasy of spiritual devotion. This river doesn't flow toward material success or social validation, but toward union with the divine source. In our achievement-oriented culture, Rumi's perspective offers a radical alternative. What if our purpose isn't to accumulate accomplishments, but to empty ourselves completely, becoming hollow reeds through which the divine melody can play? The transformative power of this surrender appears throughout Rumi's work. Through love's transformative power, all bitter things become sweet, copper turns to gold, dregs become purest wine, and pain transforms to medicine. This alchemical metaphor speaks to love's capacity to transmute not just emotions, but the very substance of reality. When we fully surrender to divine love, Rumi suggests, we participate in the cosmic transformation that is the universe's fundamental process. "Stay close, my heart," Rumi counsels, directing our attention not outward toward external authorities, but inward to the wisdom that resides within. This inward journey forms the core of Rumi's spiritual teaching, a radical departure from religious traditions that emphasize external rules and rituals. For Rumi, the divine beloved isn't found in temples or texts, but in the depths of our own hearts. "Remain near to the one who understands your ways," he writes, suggesting that true spiritual guidance comes from within. This doesn't mean Rumi rejects tradition, he was, after all, a respected Islamic scholar, but rather that he recognized authentic spirituality as an intimate, personal experience that transcends dogma. The inward journey requires discernment. Not every sugarcane holds sweetness, not all abysses have peaks. In today's world of endless spiritual marketplaces and self-help gurus, Rumi's warning resonates powerfully. How do we distinguish authentic spiritual nourishment from empty promises? Rumi suggests we look beyond flashy packaging to the substance within. Be selective about where you seek nourishment, for not all pots contain the same substance. This journey inward isn't comfortable. It requires confronting our shadows and resistances. When Rumi writes, "If rejected by the friend, recognize your own resistance," he's acknowledging how often we sabotage our own spiritual growth. The psychological concept of projection finds perfect expression in Rumi's insight that what appears as divine rejection often reflects our own unwillingness to change. The inward journey culminates in a profound discovery. The beloved we seek externally has been within us all along. From myself, I am copper. Through you, friend, I am gold. From myself, I'm a stone. But through you, I am a gem. This realization transforms our understanding of spiritual seeking. We're not acquiring something new, but uncovering what was always present, like polishing a mirror to reveal a reflection that was always possible. This inner transformation manifests outwardly. Protect your awakened heart like a lamp beneath your robe. The light kindled through inner work naturally illuminates the world around us. When we discover the beloved within, we begin to recognize that same divine presence in everything and everyone we encounter. The lover's sustenance comes from loving the bread itself. No actual bread is needed. With these words, Rumi invites us beyond the dualistic thinking that dominates ordinary consciousness. In conventional understanding, lover and beloved remain separate entities, but Rumi points to a reality where these distinctions dissolve into a unified field of experience. This metaphor of bread and sustenance illustrates how true nourishment comes not from external objects, but from the very act of loving itself. Lovers have established themselves in non-existence, he writes, challenging our fundamental assumptions about reality. This non-existence isn't nihilistic emptiness, but the spacious awareness that emerges when we transcend the limited perspective of the separate self. Modern quantum physics echoes Rumi's insight that the apparent separation between observer and observed breaks down at fundamental levels of reality. The double slit experiment, for instance, demonstrates how the mere act of observation affects the behavior of particles, suggesting a deep interconnection between consciousness and matter. Rumi's famous lines about transcending religious identities, "I am neither Christian, nor Jew, nor Magian, nor Muslim," emerge from this non-dual understanding. When we recognize the artificial nature of the boundaries we create, religious divisions lose their power to separate us. In today's world of religious conflict and polarization, Rumi's perspective offers a healing alternative, not a bland universalism that erases differences, but a profound recognition of the unity that underlies diversity. His poetry frequently draws from multiple religious traditions, finding common threads in Christian, Jewish, and Islamic mysticism while honoring their unique expressions. This transcendence of duality appears vividly in Rumi's poem "Look at Love," where he celebrates the mysterious intermingling of opposites: water and fire, earth and wind, enemies yet friends, the wolf and lamb, lion and deer, distant yet connected. Nature itself demonstrates the harmony of apparent contradictions, challenging our either-or thinking. The ecosystem provides countless examples of this interconnection, where predator and prey, parasite and host, competition and cooperation all contribute to the whole. The recognition of non-duality transforms our approach to life's challenges. Rather than fighting against difficulties, we begin to see how apparent opposites complement each other. Why concern yourself with good and bad? Pay attention instead to how things blend together. This doesn't mean abandoning discernment, but developing a more nuanced understanding that transcends simplistic moral categories. Just as day needs night and pleasure gives meaning to pain, wisdom emerges from embracing life's full spectrum of experiences. Rumi illustrates this principle through various metaphors: the moth drawn to the flame, the reed separated from the reed bed, the drop returning to the ocean. Each image points to the paradoxical nature of spiritual awakening, the individual self dissolving into something greater while simultaneously discovering its true nature. His poetry suggests that love itself is the force that reveals this unity, breaking down the barriers between self and other. Ultimately, Rumi's non-dual vision culminates in the recognition that my beloved grows from my own heart. What greater union could exist? The seeker and the sought, the lover and the beloved, are not two separate entities, but aspects of a single reality. When we truly understand this, our spiritual seeking transforms from an endless quest into the joyful recognition of what has always been true. This understanding has practical implications for relationships, creativity, and personal growth, suggesting that what we seek is not found through acquisition, but through recognition of our inherent completeness. Should love rejoice if I don't burn? Rumi asks, embracing suffering not as punishment, but as purification. Throughout his poetry, Rumi transforms our understanding of pain by revealing its hidden purpose in spiritual awakening. From now on, burning becomes my purpose, he declares, for like a candle, burning makes me brighter. This perspective offers profound wisdom for navigating life's inevitable sufferings. Rather than asking, why is this happening to me, a question that often leads to bitterness, Rumi encourages us to ask, what is this teaching me? This shift transforms suffering from meaningless torment into purposeful transformation. The metaphor of alchemy runs throughout Rumi's work. The process by which base metals are transformed into gold, representing the soul's refinement through difficulty. My heart is love's dwelling place. If love wishes to burn this house, who could forbid it? Burn this house completely. Fire only improves a lover's home. What conventional wisdom sees as destruction, Rumi recognizes as necessary renovation, creating space for something more beautiful to emerge. Consider how this perspective might transform our approach to life's challenges. The loss of a job becomes an opportunity to discover more meaningful work. A relationship's end opens the possibility for deeper connection. Illness invites a reevaluation of priorities. This isn't toxic positivity that denies pain's reality, but a profound recognition of suffering's transformative potential. Rumi's personal story exemplifies this alchemical process. His greatest poetry emerged from his most devastating loss, the mysterious disappearance of his beloved spiritual companion, Shams of Tabriz. Rather than being destroyed by grief, Rumi was transformed by it, his pain becoming the crucible for spiritual gold. I believe in love, swear by love. How long must I, prisoner of grief, beg for mercy, he writes, showing how even in the depths of suffering, love remains the guiding principle. This alchemical perspective extends even to death, which Rumi sees not as an ending, but a transformation. You mustn't be afraid of death. You're a deathless soul that can't be confined to a dark grave. You're filled with divine light. By recognizing our essential nature as boundless awareness rather than limited form, we transcend the fear that gives suffering its greatest power. How could the soul not take flight when it hears God's sweet call to arise? With these words, Rumi captures the ecstatic movement that characterizes authentic spiritual life. Throughout his poetry, Rumi employs dynamic imagery: whirling dervishes, flying birds, flowing rivers, swaying trees, and dancing flames, to convey spirituality not as static belief, but as energetic participation in life's grand choreography. These metaphors appear in hundreds of his poems, each offering a unique perspective on the dynamic nature of existence. This perspective fundamentally challenges religious traditions that emphasize rigid adherence to fixed doctrines and unchanging rules. For Rumi, true spirituality isn't found in correct beliefs or perfect practices, but in passionate engagement with the divine presence that animates all existence. Every Sufi dances Adam-like around the eternal sun, he writes, evoking the famous whirling meditation practice of the Mevlevi order he inspired. This sacred practice, still performed today, transforms the simple act of spinning into a profound spiritual exercise, where the dervish becomes a living bridge between heaven and earth. The metaphor of dance carries profound implications for how we live our daily lives. Rather than approaching life as a problem to solve or a test to pass, Rumi invites us to experience it as a creative collaboration with divine energy. Like dance partners moving in harmony, we neither control the music nor passively submit to it, but actively participate in its unfolding rhythm. This dynamic balance manifests in everyday moments, from the way we walk and breathe to how we interact with others and navigate life's challenges. This cosmic dance involves constant movement between apparent opposites. Spring and winter unite in the equinox. Rather than seeking permanent stability, Rumi embraces the cyclical nature of existence, the continuous interplay of expansion and contraction, joy and sorrow, union and separation. His poetry describes these cycles in both intimate human experiences and grand natural phenomena. Modern psychology's recognition of life's natural cycles echoes Rumi's ancient wisdom that true emotional health involves flowing with these rhythms rather than resisting them. Contemporary therapies often emphasize this same principle of accepting and moving with life's natural fluctuations. The dance extends beyond individual experience to cosmic dimensions. The sky is an astrolabe, but reality is love. Rumi's poetry frequently references celestial movements, sun, moon, stars, planets, connecting human experience to universal patterns. He saw in the ordered movement of celestial bodies a reflection of divine intelligence, and in their continuous motion, a model for human spiritual development. "Tonight is a night of union," he writes, describing a cosmic alignment that mirrors the lover's union with the beloved, suggesting that personal transformation participates in universal processes. This cosmic dance culminates in what Rumi calls resurrection, not a distant afterlife event, but the continuous renewal available in each moment. Why shouldn't every Sufi dance Adam-like around the eternal sun that saves from impermanence? When we recognize ourselves as participants in the universe's creative unfolding, every moment becomes an opportunity for resurrection, the death of limited identity, and rebirth into expanded awareness. This teaching finds practical application in mindfulness practices that encourage present moment awareness and in therapeutic approaches that foster psychological renewal through embracing change. The dance extends beyond individual experience to cosmic dimensions. The sky is an astrolabe, but reality is love. Rumi's poetry frequently references celestial movements, sun, moon, stars, planets, connecting human experience to universal patterns. He saw in the ordered movement of celestial bodies a reflection of divine intelligence, and in their continuous motion, a model for human spiritual development. "Tonight is a night of union," he writes, describing a cosmic alignment that mirrors the lover's union with the beloved, suggesting that personal transformation participates in universal processes. This cosmic dance culminates in what Rumi calls resurrection, not a distant afterlife event, but the continuous renewal in each moment. Why shouldn't every Sufi dance Adam-like around the eternal sun that saves from impermanence? When we recognize ourselves as participants in the universe's creative unfolding, every moment becomes an opportunity for resurrection, the death of limited identity, and rebirth into expanded awareness. This teaching finds practical application in mindfulness practices that encourage present moment awareness and in therapeutic approaches that foster psychological renewal through embracing change. Show me your face. I crave flowers and gardens. Throughout his poetry, Rumi explores how human relationships serve as mirrors reflecting divine beauty. Unlike spiritual traditions that reject worldly attachments as distractions, Rumi recognizes that human love, when properly understood, can become a gateway to divine love. This perspective emerges most powerfully in Rumi's relationship with Shams of Tabriz, the wandering mystic who transformed his life. When Rumi writes, "The face of Shams-e-Din, Tabriz's glory, is the sun whose track I follow," he's acknowledging how divine love manifested through human form. This doesn't mean idolizing another person, but recognizing them as a window through which divine light shines. Rumi's poetry offers profound guidance for navigating human relationships. A beloved asked her well-traveled lover which city in all the world was best. His answer came without hesitation, "The city where my sweetheart lives." This simple story reveals how love transforms perception, not through blind infatuation, but through recognizing the beloved as a unique manifestation of divine beauty. This perspective can revolutionize our approach to relationships. Rather than seeking partners who fulfill our egoic needs or match our cultural ideals, we might look for those who awaken our recognition of the divine. Rather than trying to change others to meet our expectations, we might approach them with the reverent attention we'd give to a sacred text, seeking to understand the divine message expressed through their unique being. Rumi doesn't romanticize relationships, acknowledging their challenges. "Let us adore one another before we cease to exist. Your mirror reveals truth. Brighten your grim face and discard your bitter smile." He recognizes how easily we fall into patterns of resentment and projection, missing the opportunity for genuine connection. His solution is radical presence, meeting each other fully in the moment rather than postponing reconciliation. "You'll make peace with me once I'm gone. Why worship the dead? Think of me as already gone and reconcile now." Even separation and loss become opportunities for deeper connection in Rumi's understanding. When he writes to the absent Shams, "Sometimes I wonder if you were merely a winter night's dream," he's exploring how the beloved's physical absence can intensify spiritual presence. This offers profound comfort to anyone grieving a loss, the recognition that love transcends physical separation. "I've returned like a new year to break the prison gates of life, this man-eating monster." With these revolutionary words, Rumi announces the radical awakening that spiritual realization brings. Throughout his poetry, he contrasts conventional consciousness, trapped in illusion and separation, with the liberated awareness that recognizes divine presence in every moment. This awakening isn't gentle or comfortable, but disruptive to established patterns. "I'll break everything in sight. I'll throw wine in the sheriff's face and break your gatekeeper's arm." Rumi's imagery deliberately shocks us out of complacency, challenging the social and religious conventions that maintain the illusion of separation. In today's terms, we might call this waking up from the matrix, recognizing how cultural conditioning limits our perception of reality. The awakened perspective reveals the arbitrary nature of social hierarchies and moral judgments. Yesterday, the wisest man searched town with a lit lantern in daylight, tired of beasts and brutes, seeking a true human, one who cannot be found. Like Diogenes in Greek philosophy, Rumi suggests that what passes for humanity often masks a deeper authenticity waiting to be discovered. This awakening transforms our understanding of death, revealing it as a doorway rather than an ending. When realization dawns, shouting will rise from graves as dust stirs with ecstatic cities and drumming. Dead bodies will tear off shrouds in fright. The imagery of resurrection appears throughout Rumi's poetry, not as a future event, but as the continuous possibility of awakening from the death of unconscious living. Rumi doesn't present awakening as an escape from worldly existence, but as a transformed engagement with it. "Let's leave the dust behind, fly to the heavens, abandon childish ways, and join the banquet of men. This banquet isn't otherworldly, but represents full participation in life from an awakened perspective. When we recognize our essential nature as deathless soul filled with divine light, we can engage with life's challenges without being defined or limited by them. The revolutionary nature of this awakening extends to religious understanding itself. Had everyone sought God instead of worldly trinkets, they wouldn't sit in darkness and regret. Rumi challenges religious practices that substitute external observance for direct experience, offering instead the possibility of immediate communion with the divine. Close your lips and shine like sunlight, like the sun of Tabriz rising in the east. Who's knocking at my door? This simple question initiates one of Rumi's most profound dialogues, revealing the paradoxical nature of spiritual seeking. Throughout his poetry, Rumi explores the mysterious relationship between seeker and sought, ultimately revealing that what we seek has been seeking us all along. The conversation unfolds as a series of questions and answers, with the seeker persistently declaring love while the beloved demands proof. He demanded witnesses for my claim. I offered my tears and yellow face as proof. This exchange mirrors the soul's journey, our longing for divine connection met by apparent resistance that tests the authenticity of our devotion. Rumi reveals that spiritual seeking isn't about finding something new, but recognizing what has always been present. I will accompany you in the grave when you leave behind your worldly possessions and family. My soft voice will echo in your tomb, revealing I was always watching. The beloved we seek has never been absent. Our sense of separation was the only illusion. This recognition transforms spiritual practice from desperate striving to grateful reception. O happy day when I shall die in your presence, my ruler. Like sugar, I'll melt near your sweet treasure. Death itself becomes not an ending, but a consummation, the final dissolution of the illusory boundaries that separate lover from beloved. The eternal nature of this relationship transcends time. I've died many times, revived by your breath. I would happily die 100 times more. Rumi suggests that what we experience as separate lifetimes are moments in an ongoing love affair between the soul and divine reality. Modern concepts of reincarnation pale beside Rumi's vision of continuous dying and rebirth within the eternal now. This eternal relationship isn't limited to special moments of spiritual experience, but permeates ordinary existence. I am the pure awareness in your heart, present in joy and despair alike. The divine beloved isn't found only in ecstatic states, but in the full spectrum of human experience, even in apparent absence. At twilight, a moon appears in the sky before landing on earth to gaze at me. Ultimately, Rumi's poetry culminates in the recognition that seeker and sought are not two. Looking at myself, I no longer see my form, for within that moon, my body has transformed as fine as soul. The journey that began with passionate longing ends with the discovery that lover and beloved were never separate. Why cling to a single life until it becomes soiled and ragged? The sun dies and dies, squandering 100 lives every instant.